Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
Now funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, North Bay State, United, South Valley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 30. Dow futures down 217. NASDAQ futures down 145. Wild day, yesterday. Wild morning here so far this morning. This is, as I used to say on the trading floor, this bleep is moving. And, I would say that this is some of the craziest I've seen in really a long while. Yet Amazon, the guys were up, it was up $125 yesterday in the rally. Got back almost all lost, if not more, from the day before. Then they miss on revenue and guidance, and the thing drops another 10%, drops 10%, loses that entire, like, $125 and then some. It's absolutely incredible. It's down to $1,600 a share. It was trading probably $1,730 before the thing happened, and, it's absolutely, the straddle was about $60, and, I looked at that and I go, I wonder if that's a buy, but I don't, I have a lot of terrific clients, but there's not a whole lot of clients that I could buy a $65 straddle a bunch for, Kevin, and, but I had a feeling that it was going to go more than $65. I had no idea it was going to go 130. I mean, you get some clue, but you sit there and you shake your head and go, I haven't figured it all out yet. There's stuff left to learn, shall we say. But what is going on with this market?
65, 130, it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, what's the difference, you know? It was, I mean, it really is amazing when we start to reprice, and it's somewhat not surprising, Kevin, and it's always, a lot of the stuff we've talked about, and I don't want to go, it's all happening sort of together. I mean, the listeners, I think if they, you know, I know they pay attention, but it's hard to listen from day to day and remember everything, but we've talked on many occasions, some with you, Kevin, some with other people, a lot with David, regarding this kind of new world of, the big stocks. You never split them. So the object is to not have them in the hands of Ma and Pa Kettle, to be part of the indexes, to be increasing part of the indexes as they go. And to be held by a lot of funds, a lot of hedge funds, and a lot of other people, or you know, private kind of funds, not just listed funds. And it's a theory, okay? Whether it's the right theory or not, I don't know. All I know is that it's different, okay? So you're talking about quick movement on one side or the other, and as you go up, as the stack goes from 1,200 to 1,700, it needs to become a bigger percentage of everybody's portfolio. So you need to buy almost more and more. So it creates its own demand. And now when it comes the other way, we're going to see how the theory works out. Does the fact that it has only relatively, it's 85% like institutionally owned, which telephone back in the day or Lucent used to be probably, 80% individually owned. I mean, I don't know if it's right or if it's wrong. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying it's different. And as we go through this process seemingly of repricing the market, for several reasons, it'll be interesting to see how this all falls out. I don't know if I can predict it. My guess is you're probably better off with a stock priced to where a lot of individual people own it. Now, whether that number should be 60 or 40 or 50, I don't know. I just know that 80% is kind of high. And, it may turn out that these guys are right, that it's better. The stock hangs in there better, because they're in stronger hands. I'm saying it's just different. It's something to, and we're in this period of time where we really don't know how to trade a change in value. being interest rates. And you know what? The reason why I know that is because I was here when it happened the other way, when interest rates had been high for so long and inflation was high and people, they just get used to it. It was 5, 6, 7, 8 years like that. Stock market never went up. And I, year and a half on the trading floor, Kevin, you never, I mean, I wish I could have had a camera on my cell phone, assuming I knew how to use it, where I would watch IBM. It'd be trading, you know, 120 to an eighth. And all of a sudden, 10,000 shares, 120 and an eighth. 300 shares, 120. 300 shares, 119 and 7/8. It was just so heavy. Because everybody wanted to, because of the interest rates, because of the short stack rebates, everyone wanted to be short stack and long options, because if you're in a professional, you get money for the short stack. So every single stack, there were only like 125 on the floor, had just massive offers. Because everybody wanted to sell on the offer. Because you could never hit a down tick for short stack. You always had to wait. Had to be on a plus tick. It's a long story. And you sat there and watched this, and you're going, how could this market ever go up? Where's this money going to come from? When is this tone going to change? And all of a sudden, one day it did. And now all of a sudden, we've had a Fed do something else for 8-10 years. And it's reaching the end of that. Now we've got people basically bitching and moaning, can't we just keep rates even now for a long time? The answer is no, you can't. Because this inflation is spitting out all over the place. And that's these guys' primary goal. Even these guys, as slow as they've been to it, don't want any part of 1978 anymore, inflation-wise. So they're gonna basically, you know, flip their nose at the president if they think they're chasing inflation, because they're not going to let that happen. Or at least in their mind, I think they're behind it already. But the fact is, they're making a little bit of move. But the thought of going from 1.5% interest rates to 2 as an inflation fighter, Kevin, is that like peeing on a bonfire or what? I mean, pretty much.
Well, or a gasoline fire.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a big change right now in what's happening. My instinct tells me that if we're going to stay at 3.25 on the 10-year for a while, that we've probably come down somewhat enough, and we'll flatten out here and see what the earnings do for a year or so. Then they're going to ratchet it up to 4%, and then we'll see. We'll maybe have a little bit more of a reprice, but companies can grow into that. Now, long bonds, you can't really grow into that, but with this repricing, I don't think anybody right now is going to give somebody in a junk bond, is going to give them their money 6% for a junk bond, would you? Right now, I wouldn't. If I can get a treasury for 2.5, why would I take a junk bond for 6? I mean, those junk bonds are going to have to go up. The entire curve is going to have to be repriced. And when it reprices, prices change. Prices come down. Just like you're seeing, I've talked to 4 or 5 real estate people in the last week, Kevin. Every single one says everybody's lowering their prices. Because it's mortgage rates. The difference between 3.1 and 4.2 is dramatic per month. And everybody's lowering their prices. It's just, when you get so far out like that, it should never have got down there. But now it is. And it's a problem, I think, for everybody. Well, it's not a problem for the.
Right.
I hope we don't overshoot till we get to the point where all of a sudden now we've got, you know, a bazillion margin calls or something. I know I call the margin department in IBC.
Well, but that is typically how this works, and that's why trying to, especially micro level, manage it doesn't work, because this is like any system. It's going to have its variance. It's going to have its swings, and every time you do something, all you're going to do is unless you're perfect at anticipating what's going to happen next and getting out in front of it, which nobody is, then all you're really doing is reacting to a trend that's already in motion, and when you do something about it, you're just making it worse.
Well, yeah, but whenever you go out on an edge, and I think there's some I don't know, what's the, you're the one who's in academia. What's the science of where you look at something where let's say, for instance, you're running in marathons, and say, okay,
science of running a marathon is kinesiology. Next question.
Well, no, what I'm saying is there's a you look and see what has to happen for. How much water do you have to drink? Okay, there was a time, you know, when you and I played softball. I mean, you went to a softball game, the only water was essentially the concrete drinking fountain next to the field, right? And people walked over, mm-hmm. and took a swig every couple innings. Then it was, oh God, you know, what do you have to do? You know, you got to bring water bottles, you got to bring a cooler, you got to drink, you know, God knows how much, you know, per whatever.
You bring some juice so that you get some sugars in you.
Well, and I'm sure there's
bring your Gatorade so you get some electrolytes in you. Yep.
Well, and now it's to the point where there's a water station in a race. The furthest I ever went was did you ever do races? I did 10 miles once. And you know what? It took me, an hour 39. So I was pretty decent those days. And you know what? I took one little drink, Kevin. I didn't need it. To go an hour and 40 minutes. I didn't need a huge hunk of water. If I took some, you know, if I drank before other people, and I was hotter maybe, but I mean, at some point, I guess what I'm saying is, now you got somebody drinking, like, no water, like we used to do in softball. Well, that's, to drink some is probably not so bad. But I'm saying there's a middle ground where interest rates are, the normal is, risk-free rate is 2.5 or 3. And obviously if the Fed moves that from, to 4, it's gonna chunk things up. Or if they move it to 2, it's probably gonna pick up, pick up investments. Because I used to do all the investment stuff for Pullman. Where are we going to buy a new machine or lease a new machine or whatever? And you'd look at your rate and you'd say, how much could you borrow money for? And you'd look at what the return. And yeah, there was a big difference as whether if the rate was 5% or 6% or 7 or you could borrow. Or a 10 or whatever it happened to be. And, some machines you wouldn't buy. Others you would. You'd buy the pieces from some other guy. But I don't know what, when you go from 1 to 0, I mean, at that extreme, I don't even know if any of the models work. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know.
Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying, because I remember writing, many a proposal at a cost of funds of about 8.5%. So, now, who cares? Just tell me what the cash flow looks like, or tell me what the earnings impact looks like.
But I just, I wonder when I see we're raising the rate from, I don't know that going from 2% to 0.5%. Did anything in the first place? To where going back to 2 is going to do much? Do you? How do you even? I mean, I don't know. I was, it's funny. I'm looking at this article in Bloomberg here today. If I look a little distracted, it's aggravated the hell out of me. I'm going to say U.S. secretly halted J.P. Morgan's growth for years, and now the chains on the nation's biggest lender are off, thanks to bank friendly regulators. Kevin, does anybody honestly think that these banks have been harmed in the last 10 years? And I'm talking about the big guys. In terms of maybe not being able to trade like they wanted to or something, yeah, but didn't the limit used to be that you couldn't have 8%, more than 8% of the deposits in one bank? And doesn't, like, Bank of America or one of them now have 12.5? I mean, where exactly are the chains that I'm seeing here in terms of bigness?
In terms of bigness, I don't know. In terms of ability to lend, depending what they've done, and I'm not close enough to really comment on it anymore. But what they've done to relax regulations on lending, that could be a factor.
I would agree, but I mean, in terms of, they're not exactly, when you've got $2 trillion on deposits that you're not paying any money to, and you're actually charging fees on, and you're dumping a trillion of that every night at the Fed making 2%. That's not bad business. By my estimation, didn't it used to be you couldn't do one?
I can run a bank on those terms.
Yeah, I mean, didn't the percentage, nobody could be over 8% of all the deposits in the country? Now all the big four all are. I think that's the number. I mean, I'll check that out. I'll have it for sure on Monday. Hey, what'd you think of our conversation yesterday with Lou on the Kansas thing? I still can't get over it. The court said they were doing this, if these guys were doing this, they harmed Kansas. I mean, for God's sake.
I am struggling to see how they got a conviction on that. And as I've said all along, to me, the most interesting part of it is the defense, which I thought was a real valid defense, and that is, how can you cheat somebody who's a willing participant in the scam?
Well, yeah, the kid or the school.
You know, that's the part that remains, that baffles me. But the one thing we do have out of this that will be, and it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, is that the NCAA now has a lot of this stuff on the record, on sworn testimony, public record. So they have always had an enforcement problem built around their lack of subpoena powers, and now they have it because it got subpoenaed by somebody else.
Well, yeah, it's a...
So we'll see what they do about it, because as Lou said, the sacred cows, especially in basketball, tend to be quite protected.
This is so easy to follow through when you think about, you know, follow the money. It's just I don't know, but the idea that Kansas, they got the huge shoe contract to start with. Now the shoe company's paying kids to go to Kansas. How Kansas ends up a net loser in this thing, I have no idea. Or how they were somehow cheated.
Well, you know, what's interesting here is Kansas has now canceled their deal with Adidas, and so now they'll go get resurrect a corrupt relationship with Nike or Under Armour, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, is Under Armour ever... Is Adidas the only one who seems to be pointed out in this, or no?
So far, yes.
Okay.
But I'm not about to believe that they're the only one behaving that way in the industry.
Why would you give somebody a bunch of money and then not care who showed up there to play? The only reason why you're doing it is because they're going to be seen.
Oh, yeah, we've had this conversation plenty of times. It's a bad business model that is just built to be abused. Because it's suppressing any semblance of how a market works, and in the process is creating a you can't make a market go away. You just make it move it underground.
There you go. I found this: the five biggest banks in the U.S. hold 40% of all deposits in the country. So how's that working out? Unbelievable.
So that puts them on an average right around 8% each. So if we've said you can't have more than 8%, they're probably kind of sitting right on the edge.
Well, J.P. Morgan's is pretty high. The highest is, quarter three 2017. The highest by far is J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo and Bank of America. Then they got U.S. Bank Corp in here is kind of a piddler. They're only 0.34 trillion, so they shouldn't even really be in there. So if you pull them out of there, there's probably 38% or 37% as the other four. So that's pretty high. And one of them is appreciably higher. I think it's the J.P. Morgan is. Anyway, but it's, they don't seem to me to be all that shackled, is what I'm saying. Just depending on who's writing the article. Are we looking at another? If we look at another 10 or 15% in the market, Kevin, that's a huge hit. We're already down $1.7 trillion from the market top. If we start talking $3 trillion coming out of wealth, that's a lot of money. Because some of the bonds are going to hit too.
You know what's kind of interesting is in the past when bubbles burst, we've had gigantic crashes. This time it's just been more every day. Are we coming up to some kind of end game here?
I think. God, talk about an opinion right now is like a fart in the wind, for God's sake. But I'm going to say yes, and I don't usually do that because I was around in '87 and these other places where we just kept going. I'm going to say this is enough revaluing from 2% to 3.25% in a 10-year, if that's all that's going on. You know, who knows what else is going on that I don't know about, but I'd say revaluing wise. Because I'm gonna guess, so I'll throw my quarter in the ring, that the Fed raises rates in December and probably pauses a little bit next year. That they're not locked into the 3 or 4 next year, and unless they all of a sudden have gotten this, they've seen the light like Belushi, in Blues Brothers, that this inflation is not only creeping, but it's becoming endemic, in which case, you know, they need to get to 5 or something, which. Boy, oh boy! I don't know what the market looks like there. How many of my clients, for God's sake, would say, "Get me a T-bill at 5 and get me out of some of this stuff." I mean, I think a lot. That's a big number. I mean, where do we have to go last time to fight inflation? 12? I mean, I can't even envision that. I mean, God, let's hope we don't have to go there. mean, if we had to do that a second time in my lifetime, Kevin, I'd go, God, how stupid are we? I mean, anyway.
I'd rather not.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather not. But, you know, but how to, I guess, but the things that really, I mean, I don't like the way the market is set up. It just screws people when the market goes down because you can't take the money off. You can't do that kind of stuff. The tax thing is not right. People get margin debt on the way up. Whenever markets start to come down, it's always somewhere near a record of margin loans. I mean, I'm just real happy here. We don't have anybody. I mean, because of our use of options and the fact that our people, I say not because they use options, they're safer. I'm not going to say that. What I'm saying is they seem they're more risk averse in the sense that we really don't have anybody who says, you know, buy me 1,000 shares. Well, I'd like a few of these people, I guess. Buy me 1,000 shares of Amazon. By the way, I'll send you a check for half of it. You know, we really don't have that. But most of your brokerage firms, I mean, what people, you know, when you start seeing Schwab and stuff, not to badmouth our competition, but I think I will, when the things they say on TV are a flat out lie. The part where they're going to give you your commission back. Well, your commission is not where you make money, where they make money. I mean, that's where we make money. But they make money almost, I'm going to say virtually all their money is being made on margin interest, that type of thing. And they also get paid a kickbacks on every trade they do. Well, kickback is such a horrible term. I'm going to use the word payment for order flow. So if they do a trade for you for $5, they're probably getting $10 on the other end. They're not going to give you that back. Okay, if you don't like your trade, I'd be happy to give you your $5 back. You know, or at least have a commercial that says they will. They probably wouldn't be happy to give it to you, but it's nowhere near.
Yeah, but you're saying they get paid either way.
They get paid either way. Plus, if you buy 1,000 shares of a stock and you all of a sudden you got a $100,000 margin loan, they're charging you 6.5 on a margin loan. Maybe 7. And like an Interactive, you could do a PTI Pro Direct here. And we're paying you. I think you're paying 1.5 or 2, depending on the size you get in there. I mean, RBC doesn't, but Interactive does. We have 2 clearing relationships. But Schwab's not going to. And so they don't care. They're gonna, and if you have cash in another account, they're giving you nothing. So essentially, if you got a bunch of cash in your IRA, you're making nothing. And if you're borrowing money in your regular account, you can't have margin in an IRA, obviously. You're going to be paying 6.5%. You might be cash negative with them or cash even. So you're scalping yourself, essentially. So, I mean, when you look at how firms make money, it's not about the 5 hours of trade they charge you. It's all in the kickback, where they execute the trade, how much they screw you on the execution, and in the interest, which is where it is. Now, we don't take kickbacks. So, because all we care about is
referral bonuses, Chief.
Yeah, referral bonuses. Yeah, it's a yes. You're winning, sir. So anyway, I mean, every part in every business, Kevin, has its dark side, obviously. But you know, are the markets set up now? Yesterday, I saw some of the spreads on some of the options and some of the stocks start to get incredibly wild and wide, and to where you almost couldn't make a trade. Are we gonna? It's a good thing it's been orderly, because I think the market setup now is not very good, and I've been saying that for 20 years. Okay, so it's not like it's something new out of me, but you know what's interesting is the front running is absolutely dramatic even now, Kevin, and it's very much like this Kansas case. We're going to send an example. Give me a break from these three mopes they just got from the shoe company or whatever they are, t-shirt company. We put a spread in yesterday, and I think the market on the screen was, because they're starting to widen out. I think it was in Google, 275 bid at 650 is the spread market on the screen. So a client was 275 bid. Why, I don't know. All of a sudden, he gets hit at 275. Now, nothing's happening on the screen on the stock. The minute we see that fill, we go, uh-oh. Why the hell are we getting filled on a 4 hour wide market? And it couldn't have been 20 minutes later that Google's earnings come out and the earnings basically suck and the stock goes down. Now, somebody had those numbers 20 minutes before. And I see this every day. And yet, I listen to, you know, somebody come on a TV and, man, this is an outrage. Let's get some guy from Borneo or something and make an example of him. Kevin, it is rampant everywhere. You know, I mean, not everybody. I mean, you saw, obviously, people didn't know the Amazon situation yesterday because the stock went up $120 during the day. Then the earnings came out, and they missed on revenue, and then they basically guided lower. So the thing gave up the entire $125 the minute after the earnings come out. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. Where, I mean, in a long time, in years and years. I mean, the thing, it was down heavy on Wednesday, okay, like everything was. It makes all that back and more yesterday. So I'm thinking these earnings, they got to be spectacular. All of a sudden,
be great.
All of a sudden they come out. And I don't know. I wasn't watching Amazon because I was worried about the Google. I don't know if 5 minutes before, all of a sudden there started to be some sellers. I mean, I didn't check that. I mean, I can't watch them all. I mean, it seemed like that one really, really got people because it was in the guidance. And I don't think you ever heard Jeff Bezos come out and say the guidance was going to be crummier, right? I mean, I don't think I've ever heard a guy do that. So, it really shocked people. It was down, all of a sudden you see the thing just falling down 50, 60, 70. Right now we got S&P futures down 28, Dow futures down 196, NASDAQ futures down 142, oil down 83 cents, everything's down. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure.
But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Kevin O'Neill, Mr. Matt Weber on the board of this kind of wild market morning here. Who's down 29? Dow's down 210. These are Dow futures. NASDAQ futures down 141. That's where most of the carnage is. Amazon's down 157. It's trading 1624. And I'm going to say, I'm looking at my chart here. The chart yesterday is kind of just crazy world. The chart on the 25th had the stock trading 1782. So it topped out yesterday at 1782s where it kind of it closed. We're down 160 points there. So it was up 125 points. It traded 1692. Actually up 100 points. 1692. Went up to the high was 1794. I'm sorry. So it was actually up like 102 points and it came flying all the way back down. Now we're way below that. Stock was 2150 not that long ago. It's down some. Like I said, around the rest of the world, we've got Google down 58 bucks, trading 1036. So those are where we're taking the NASDAQ down, obviously. In Europe, we've got the DAX down 181, that's 1.6%. FTSE down 76, 1.1. CAC around down 102, 2%. They've been the bigger mover percentage-wise for the last couple of weeks. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei relatively stable. They're down 84, but at 21,184. So that's a low number. It's 0.4%. Shanghai only down 5, but it's 0.2%. Under 2,600 again, though, 2,598. Hang Seng down 276, that's a whole 1%. 24,717 is a whole number. We've got oil down 85 cents, 66.48. Not good for the oil patch. Brent down 73. The spread is at 950. Natural gas, 3.14, down 5 cents. RBOB, 178. That's as low as we've seen that in a while. We've got gold is one of the things moving up a little bit, up 550. Silver up 6 cents. Manny, that's a lot of information. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
More information. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues already on a Friday morning, which is not a great start to a usually light traffic morning. A vehicle fire on the inbound Stevenson right at LaGrange Road has blocked the exit ramp to southbound LaGrange Road as there's a fully engulfed car fire that's causing delays. Crews are on the scene there, but all kinds of issues resulting from that right at LaGrange Road and the Stevenson on the inbound side specifically. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Porter looking okay. We have a crash on the Eisenhower inbound right near Austin Boulevard. So Route 390 to the old post office is already 53 minutes on the Ike. From Mannheim, 39 minutes. So expect stop-and-go traffic on the Eisenhower even at this early hour on a Friday. So that's not great. North side's looking okay, though. No issues on the Edens or Kennedy. Suburban tollways are all quiet as well. Weather today, very similar to yesterday. Lots of clouds, cool temperatures, a high of 52. Could have an isolated shower here or there later on this afternoon, but not expecting much for precipitation. Right now it's cloudy and 47 going up to a high of 52. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 88 today. Right now it's clear and 63. In sports, Bulls and Suns were both off last night, but both hockey teams were in action. Blackhawks have now won 3 out of 4, Chief, and are playing pretty good hockey. They beat the Rangers 4-1. Coyotes with a nice win over Vancouver, same score, 4-1. And Thursday night football, it was Houston all over Miami, 42-23. Chief,
what does that say about the Bears?
That Miami loss is going to come back to haunt them. That was a terrible loss. I mean, people do realize this. The Bears have had a double-digit lead in all six games this year.
Yeah.
And they're 3-3. Some of those losses seem worse than others. But that Miami one could come back to haunt them because Miami is not very good.
Well, the
and blowing leads can be a bad habit, and also I really don't think of it as the Miami loss as much as I think of it as the Miami donation.
I would agree.
Well, how much
that was all on the Bears? It wasn't what Miami did so well. It was the Bears just giving the game away.
Well, do you think
they have like four killer mistakes in there?
Big turnovers,
that took points off the board in an overtime game.
Yep, and then a lot of missed tackling and just a tired looking defense, a missed field goal. I mean, there's a lot of mistakes.
How when you look at the schedule, obviously every game is the same as another game. Actually, no, the division games are worth a little more in the tiebreakers and stuff. But do you think it's a problem that the Bears have a two game flip with Detroit, where Detroit beat Miami and New England, and the Bears have lost to both of them?
Well, yeah, that's why they're both 3-3, when I think the Bears are a lot better than Detroit.
Well, I mean, so who do the Bears have left to play from the East? They got to play
the Bills
and who else? Who else in that division?
The Bills and the Jets, and they play the Jets this weekend.
So there's only four teams in that division?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Four teams in every division.
Right.
So they have to play the Bills and the Jets left from the West, or from the AFC East. They have to play the Rams from the NFC West, who are the best team in the NFL. That's probably a loss.
How do they pick? Does Detroit have to play them or no?
Yeah. The same divisions play the same divisions.
Oh, so you play one in the East, one in the American, and one on the other side.
Right.
Okay.
And then the Bears still have to play the Lions twice, they still play the Vikings twice, and they still play the Packers one more time.
Okay. Hey, there's an article here in CNBC, Liz Moyer, and like I said, I constantly will say, when Kevin asks me or anybody does, what's causing the market to go down, I'll say part of it is this revaluation I've been sort of waiting for, but that's also something that I watch for. Now, according to Liz Moyer, if you listen to some of the CEOs and you look at some of the earnings that have come out, Anheuser-Busch, 3M, Illinois Tool Works, UPS, PPG, they've all talked about the rising dollar is being a problem selling stuff overseas. And this is what I don't really care whether the people in government are right or left. When they start thinking two-dimensionally, I have a problem with it. And Obama did on many occasions, and these guys are too. And this whole plan of the last year of we're gonna drive these other countries down and we're gonna weaken their economies and the dollar's gonna run up. That has a serious price, Kevin. I mean, no man can do just one thing. These are our customers are beaten up on, right? So, I mean, it's one thing to drive Japan or China down because you're trying to cut a deal with them. It's quite another to expect them to show up and buy your Ford the next day when you beat them down a little bit, right? And especially when your currency is higher. I just don't think that our current group, and I'm not about to say that the previous group, is set up to walk through all these types of nuances. And if I do this, what five other things happen? And if those five other things happen, then what other 10 things happen? I don't know that they're doing it, Kevin. It doesn't look like to me like they are. I mean, do you think they are or what?
You want me to understand the Trump administration's
Well, I'm saying Obama's. I don't think Obama's had a capability of doing it either. But at least he didn't, kick the manhole covers off the sewers and just to see what happens. These guys are doing
that. Look, they're very much opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right, exactly.
I'm not sure. I mean, maybe it'll all shake out the way the president thinks it will.
I sure hope so.
Deals with everybody because they're just going to need to. I don't know. I think there's there's just as good a chance that that this will be detrimental as it will be positive. I don't know what to do other than to sit back and watch.
I would agree with you.
I don't get a vote on
But I think, Kevin, there's a difference.
I get a vote at the polls, but I don't get a vote on on what they're going to do next week.
But the weird part is I wish I was, to be honest, it's always a goal. I wish I was smarter because some companies, I think, have the ability that are they're so big and they're so overwhelming, like a Boeing, like even a Microsoft, because they're selling these things. Not a Microsoft probably. They're these colossal, almost I'll say monopolies. I don't know. I think you can trust them to insulate themselves. They can move their prices wherever they damn well feel like, because they have no competition really. Don't say Airbus. I mean, one other co-conspirator partner is not competition in my mind. But what I'm saying is, I think the places that really do get hurt are the 3Ms, the Illinois Tool Works, the PPGs, those kinds of people, because I think there are competitors. And if the dollar is too high, I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's probably, if you were to say to me, the dollar is going to rise up some percentage over the next 2 years, I'm going to say, Kevin, if I was smart enough, there's probably a whole segment of the market you want to really get long. There's a segment you probably want to be really neutral at or be protected. There's probably a segment you want to sell like a bat out of hell. And I just, you know, I don't know enough about all these places. I think it's impossible because there's so many companies. I'm thinking that for every winner, we got a loser when you have these kinds of policies, because some people don't have the ability, like UPS is talking about. I don't think UPS has the ability to all of a sudden do stuff in other people's currencies like maybe Boeing does, or Boeing can just raise the prices and what's the difference? I mean, this is so complicated that's why I'm always afraid to turn the apple cart over, because you never know what snakes under it. And yet we seem to have people in charge that, let's just blow it up and see what happens. I'll save it at the end. I don't know that that's when you get to problems that big, Kevin. I don't know if that's the right policy, but like you, I sure as hell hope I'm wrong, and somehow or another it all lands, and 2 days before the election we make peace with China and the market goes back up, and I sort of just don't see it here. I thought I did 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks
ago.
Well,
my issue is I don't know what I'm seeing. So
yeah, well, it's me too.
You know, are they really blowing it all up? And that's the approach. Is there a longer end game that you know, that they're smart enough not to make public? I just don't know, and I don't know how to evaluate it.
Well, let's put it this way: if you're Bill Murray, and you bought Amazon at 2100, and you're sitting there looking at it at 1828, you're going to say, blown up, sir! Just saying. Just saying, you know.
So yeah, but it'll be a much pithier line, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Bill Murray.
Oh yeah, but I love, God, it was a great movie. But, yeah, I mean, there are bodies along the way, whatever this policy is all I'm saying. And, you know, my job is to keep my clients not being one of the bodies. And it's getting harder and harder. I'll tell you what, puts are your friends. I mean, at least to be able to have something hedge where you can say, no matter what, this is what we can lose, and then no more is nice. You don't want to lose it, but it's better than the hardest thing in the world, Kevin. The hardest question is if somebody says, I bought this stock at 100, I got it on margin, and now it's trading 85. What do you think I should do? I'm like, oh God, well, don't come to me with that one. You know, I mean, what?
Well, you know, but what you just said, though, I think you got a business opportunity, Tom, there.
I do.
You should write a book, and seriously, you know, a helpful book for investors, but write it in the style of a children's book called Puts Are Your Friends.
but you know what? For 8 years, they haven't been.
I think that would have some value, my friend.
Right, but for 8 years, they haven't been. For 8 years, they haven't been. If you bought puts, all you did was drag somebody's account, and they'd say, what am I buying these things every quarter for? We've had no need for insurance since the bottom in 2009. Every single sell-off was a buying opportunity, and maybe someday this one will be too. But the idea,
as it is with insurance, you don't need there's no need for it until you need it.
Right. But I mean the thing that is,
and look, if you can forecast the period of time when you don't need it, then you don't need it.
Well, right. It's
then you can put off buying it.
So how many people
or you get the government to tell you that they have to insure a pre-existing condition for the same price as everybody else, and then you have it made.
Well, I'd like to see the Kevin O'Neill, Kevin O'Neill that I know, this is the new Kevin O'Neill, Mr. Know-it-all Kevin O'Neill, not you. Where you wake up in the morning and you go, man, oh man, I had a couple of beers last night and moving a little slow getting up there. I better call my insurance guy. I'll take the auto insurance today. Now, tomorrow, man, I worked out last night, feel pretty good, kayaked across the lake. My steps are quick and light like the Chevy commercial. I don't need no stinking car insurance today. I mean, does anybody do that when they have their car? I mean, anybody rational? We have people do it with their stocks. They'll say, and you know, the weird part, Kevin, is when you look at the price of the insurance, there's a message there. If you go buy a Corvette and you say, okay, I can afford it. What does a Corvette cost these days, Manny? 50? 60? I don't even know. Say it's 50. Say I can afford the 50. And I call my insurance.
You have to ask.
They're not like a Rolls or anything. I mean, I think they're 50 or 60. Who the hell knows? But, you get a nice used one for 50. Like a classical one. So you call the insurance guy and he goes, what are you doing, you idiot? That's $2,000 a month for insurance. The price of insurance is gonna, just gave me a message. Everybody's after this car. Or if I scratch it up, it's gonna be in the shop for 6 months getting fixed and it's gonna cost me $10,000. Maybe I really don't want this thing. The phenomenon that's hurt, you know, I'm, as you know, Kevin, I'm truthful as all get out. The phenomenon that has hurt what we used to do and are now doing again for people, our Protect Index program, is something that I absolutely cannot put my finger on. When you talk about implied volatilities, all my years in the business, you don't mind selling somebody insurance a reasonable amount. The further out you go, the easier it is, or the better the models are at telling you what options are worth. Okay, the thing you don't want to do is sell somebody like today. What would it cost you to sell somebody? Amazon has moved $110 in the last like 3 days, so the thing is $16.28. What would you sell the $16.35 call to somebody for like this afternoon? You'd go, wait a minute, I need a lot for that one, right? So, but now to sell somebody the $16.35 call out 2 years, you could price that. And a lot of crazy stuff's going to happen to Amazon in 2 years, and you know, some is going to be good, some is going to be bad. But what, and so usually when you look at your implied volatilities, I say usually going back 30 years, the highest one is like the one tomorrow, okay, because the volatility doesn't really even give you the number. It gets, you know, if it's worth an eighth, it's a 30 vol, it's worth a quarter, it's an 80 vol. Well, it's only an eighth, you know, so the short numbers like I was talking about earlier. But for some phenomenon happened right about the beginning of the Obama administration. And I don't think it had to do, maybe it had to do with him, I don't know. But all of a sudden you started to see a volatility skew going out, Kevin. And that because our program, we buy long-term puts and we sell calls against it to try and make up for the put expense. And we did this swimmingly for 10 years. Money, Morningstar is a money manager of the year, the whole bit. And then all of a sudden, Kevin, the near-term calls are trading at an 11 implied volatility. And if you go out a year and a half to buy the puts, they're trading at an 18 or 20, which meant we couldn't pay for the puts by selling the calls. So we basically stopped the program. Well, now this is kind of coming back, and the market's moving, so we're putting people back in the program now really on a daily basis. Because people are calling up saying, hey, you guys still doing it? Believe it or not, Kevin. But the phenomenon is, why did that happen? I mean, and every time it was, okay, well, it's going to be like that till the midterms. Nobody likes Obama. The midterms are going to turn things around. So people, it got to the point where, but if you looked at it day to day to day, people were willing to sell you insurance tomorrow, but not 4 months out. There's this thought that something bad is going to happen in the future. It's like we're on the Oregon Trail. We're walking to Oregon. We know there's a cliff there somewhere, but just not today. I mean, it's a very strange phenomenon, but it's lasted 7-8 years to where the further you go out on the insurance, it costs you more in terms of implied volatility. I've never seen that in 35 years of trading. But yet it's there. It's only starting to come back in. That's the reason why I have my people in the XLE and gold and in silver. Not because I care about gold and silver. I don't. Only the fact that I can make money out of my people. It's because those didn't skew out like that. They're essentially a commodity. They didn't. So I was able to get the puts and the calls fairly. And it's worked out okay for us. I'm probably not as good as if I would have bought the, you know, the QQQ where all the fangs were. But it's worked out okay, especially since the last month gold has run up. But it's still there. So people still have this really odd idea that 2 years from now, you know, we got a problem. And I don't know where that comes from, Kevin, but it hasn't ended. It hasn't ended when Obama left. It hasn't ended when Trump's in there. You can always say it's the midterm, it's this and that. There's always an excuse. The fact is it never leaves. Do you have any idea what could be causing that? Why all of a sudden people are afraid of the future and not tomorrow?
No idea.
I mean, but it's
hey, we're kind of running out of time here. So
you talk for a while.
I wanted to get in. I mentioned it the other day that I asked you to remind me. Darn it!
Oh God,
you let me down here.
That's what we got Matty Weber for.
That's right. It's Matt's job. Yep. We've got to find a whipping boy somewhere. You know, I just wanted to mention this because this is a really good example of something that that I've mentioned a lot. There's a I don't know who's heard of Michael Porter, but he's a big strategy guy in the business world, a Harvard professor, and a lot of people, you know, he's written at least a dozen books.
So he's big in terms of book writing. He's not a big fetzo.
He has a TED Talk out there that talks about business as the solution to social problems. He says it's not going to come because we can't tax people enough for government to solve our social problems, and there aren't enough charitable donations in the world to do that. And the example I have often used is, you know, is Samsung. Samsung builds computer labs in the poorest parts of cities in the United States, in rural Central America, in rural Africa, places that don't have access to computing technology. They do satellite hookups to get everybody on the internet, and they are training people who otherwise would be without any technology foundations. And what they're doing, and the reason it works for them, is not only is it a good thing to do, but it they're grooming their next generation of customers. So, you know, there's a long-term benefit for them, and that's what Porter's talking about. On a local level, I'm on November 7th, I'm going to have a leadership forum at school, and I have some really good speakers lined up, the mayor of Goshen, Indiana, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, and then last week I found this one guy. I learned about his business. I talked to him, and he's going to join him. The guy's name is Ernie Rebus, and his business is called Reveille Transportation. And this is not a Samsung scale, but a low-end scale of business solving the problem. We have all of these manufacturing and warehousing operations that, with a 2% unemployment rate are just, they need the people. It's expensive, and they're dealing with an absenteeism problem because you're hiring people. You know, everybody's getting hired, and that includes the low end of the economic spectrum. And these are folks, a lot of folks who have no reliable transportation, and they're not served well by public transportation. So the absenteeism rates tend to be pretty high, and the cost to the businesses is that they have to pay a lot of overtime. Ernie, talking to both sides of that equation, decided that he had a business opportunity. And so what his business does is it takes people to work, basically. He's got these nice, you know, little coach buses and vans, and the business is the client. That's who hires him. They don't mix up the people. So if you're business A, there's a van. If you're business B, there's a van. They go to pickup points in the poorest neighborhoods in the area, and they pick people up, take them to work, get them there on time, get them there every day. The business pays Ernie. They make out because they don't pay as much overtime, so he's less than paying the overtime. And the people on the lower end of the economic spectrum make out because they have access to high-paying, you know, the higher-paying jobs in the area.
You see people...
And he makes a profit. And I think that's a really, really cool business model.
I think it is, too. You see a lot of the places here that are big enough to do it themselves... grab people like at the end of the train lines and bring them to wherever the work is. Like there's a Northwestern bus at the Rock Island here, and there's
a lot of the businesses in the Aon have a bus that picks people up because there's not a train right by there, the Aon building.
The Kevin, when you were talking about the combination, we should get our friend Jean back on when 'cause she sort of the Samsung model. They were doing that in some of the inner city in Detroit. And it seemed to me that what her strength was is she managed to get something out of everybody, which Jean's good at, by the way, because she was city girl, seemed to find it early, had open doors with just a smile. She can certainly do that. And she got Michigan to pony up some money for an off-site engineering thing for these kids in the inner city school to go. She shamed the Detroit school system into providing the little buses like you're talking about to get people over there like if it was an athletic event. And she talked to the Toyotas and people in the world for ponying up like the little computers and the stuff for people to work on. So it was a combination where not one person had to foot the whole bill. Everybody took kind of a piece of it, and to where it didn't really bother anybody. I mean, we were talking about, you know, lower end laptops and stuff. And it seems like the coordination, if you do that and everybody gives a little, that works as well, which is kind of what you're talking about.
I think you go back to the key phrase there. We can't tax people enough to fix this stuff.
No.
There's just not enough tax money to do it. Now, maybe if we were totally efficient in the way, government operates, that might be different, but, businesses scale because businesses have a long-term interest in this, a profit interest in this, and I love these stories where it's working.
Oh, I agree. And you know what, Kevin? It always seems like it takes a person or two and a lot of work on their part, and they'll tell you the story about getting it started and how many times they thought they were never going to get there, and all of a sudden they do, and it looks like it was easy, but it never was.
Yeah,
I'll bet.
Well,
I'll bet your friends.
You have a guy. Yeah. He's a graduate of our school, and so that's part of why I'm really excited about having him as a speaker. Good example for our students. He's also an ex-Marine, so he sees the value of the discipline of being on time and every day, and he's really built that into what he does for his business.
Just to say, there's no such thing as an ex-Marine.
It's a good point.
Yes. Kevin, thank you very much, buddy.
Point,
enjoy the game tomorrow. SP Futures down 32.50. Dow Futures down 234. NASDAQ down 148. Come back, Mr. Dark. Carl Denninger, he'll have all the answers because I couldn't find him. Carl will. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's J-O-H-N at ptisecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howley. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 32. Dow futures down 234. NASDAQ futures down 148. We've got Amazon down 156. I've got Google down, what the hell is Google? It's not doing so hot. Down 60. 57 trading 1,035. And we have Mr. Carl Denninger from, was that many? Carl,
the market ticker. Market-ticker.org.
I keep forgetting the hyphen. So, Carl, we got him just perfectly. This is a mess, and the only guy who's going to explain it all to us is Carl. Are you ready for this challenge, Carl?
Oh, always.
What the hell is going on, buddy?
I'm sorry?
I said, what the hell is going on? This market?
Well, you know, hey, it's not like buying stocks that have 1,000 PEs is a particularly wise thing to do, right?
If the interest rates are zero and they keep growing, it's okay for a while because other guys keep buying it higher, and then all of a sudden one day it doesn't work out so well.
Right, but that's kind of the problem, right? Is
yeah.
You're not buying actual value, you're buying because somebody else is buying higher.
Have you ever seen, though, I mean, first of all, bad radio, but I agree with you, but have you ever seen a company, I mean, there's been some, you know, there's been auto companies that kept expanding. There were railroads back in the day that kept expanding where you could never really get a figure on how much they were worth because they never made money. They were always pouring it back into the place. But have you ever seen a company that for this length of time just the rabbit just stayed ahead of the greyhounds? I mean, they no matter what it was, there was always a new piece of news. They're getting into this business. They're going to that. They're wrecking this guy's profitability. All they got to do is turn the switch and they'll go from $5 a share to 50 tomorrow. Just watch them. I've never seen a phenomenon quite like this Amazon. I really haven't. I mean, even the stuff I've read.
Well, I think you have to go back to the days of Standard Oil before you will find the outrageous behavior that people in that company have engaged in and gotten away with for the last, you know, 15, 20 years, too. So, I mean, it's not surprising that you kind of got to go back to the, you know, the annals of history to find the same sort of thing. I mean, look, the cross-subsidization games that Bezos and that company have engaged in should have landed him in prison 30 years ago. But, you know, and never mind the sales tax games.
Yeah, that's right? That was such an advantage, and still an advantage.
Well, but here's the thing that you got to realize about Beck's scheme is that despite him claiming, you know, we've always paid all the taxes we owed, blah, blah, you always hear that story from people, right? The truth is that the very same game, setting up subsidiary LLCs for your distribution centers and saying, oh, by the way, we don't have Nexus, that's not a new scheme. That's actually something that a bunch of other people have thought about. I thought about it in the 1990s when I was running my internet company, and I was told by the corporate lawyers if I tried it, I'd probably wind up in a gray bar motel.
Yeah.
So, you know, but he does it, gets away with it, and then when the states finally get tired of that nonsense and start coming after him, you will notice that he did not fight one of those states. He folded every single time and started collecting the tax. Now, that kind of gives you this idea that maybe he didn't really believe his own BS, right, when it comes down to it. Because if you really thought you were right, you'd go to court. You'd say, go ahead and sue me. Go ahead and prosecute. I'm fighting this. You're wrong. I'm right. And I'm going to win. And, you know, you put your chips on the table and you say, all right, I'm all in. He didn't do it once. And then the thing that I find interesting about that is not one time did a state come after him retroactively.
I was just going to ask you that question. You're anticipating me.
Well, you know, the thing is this, is that there's, I mean, okay, I get it. There's a statute of limitations, right? But it's not zero. It goes back usually, you know, depends on state, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years. You know, Michigan is six for fraud. You know, some states are two. But it's not zero anywhere. And so not one state went after him. And one of the reasons they didn't do it, I'm sure, is he said, well, you know, we'll move our distribution center out of here if you do this. You know, if you actually try to throw somebody in jail or you actually try to seize some of our stuff, which they can do on a tax lien, you know, we'll just leave.
All right, Carl, can I come at this from a slightly different angle? Same spot, though. First of all, he is still fighting it. It's very rare that I somewhat correct you. He doesn't want to collect on the third-party stuff. So, like, half of their sales, they're still not collecting on.
Well, yeah, and he's going to lose on that one, by the way.
But every day he does it, he wins.
And that's part of the problem, and part of the big issue that I have with all of this is exactly that, is that every day he does this, he wins. Okay? Every day that he pulls this stuff and doesn't have these guys turn around and say, oh, by the way, you know, that's enough of that nonsense, right? Every day that goes on, he's a winner. And this is one of the things that causes so much trouble though for small business and other firms that are trying to compete on, you know, so-called level playing field, is that how do they do something like that? And the answer is they don't, because if they tried something like that, the state authorities would be after them in 15 seconds and the game would be over.
Why, you've led yourself, I love it when you do this, you've led yourself down a road now where you have to really say something intelligent, not that you haven't. Why is it? What is I read this week on Wednesday, I read from Mein Kampf Hitler's story on the big lie. How if you're big enough, you can pull it off. If you're small, you can't. It has to be a big lie. Small lies doesn't get you there. Why is it that somebody like you and me goes out and buys, I guess you couldn't buy a Best Buy store, or a franchise, bought some place, and we watch somebody come in and take a picture of our TV, order it from online the same price and not pay tax. Why the hell did we put up with it? And that's question one. The second question is, when you talk about these taxes, you're really talking about use taxes. And everybody right. Who buys from Amazon is responsible for paying that tax, even though people...
But they never do.
But my point is, why, and I don't know the legalities of it, why doesn't the state, I don't think they care about, I think I bought stuff from Amazon twice. I don't even know if I paid tax or not. I don't think I'm worth the effort. But I'm going to guess that if you went to Amazon and you're Governor Rauner and you find out that, or whatever, you're the state's attorney, and you just give me the top 1,000 people, I will bet you that and you went after him and said, you either pay it, or next month it's going to be a 50% penalty, or after that we're going to court, and by the way, there's fines, and who knows. If it's big enough, you might be going to jail. If it's over $100, you're supposed to pay it quarterly, Carl. I mean, but I'm saying, are they afraid that Mrs. Rauner's name's going to pop up on that thing? Or what's the deal? Why, when a state like Illinois is so broke, why do they leave this alone?
Because what Amazon and Jeff Bezos says to them is, number one, you want HQ2 in Chicago. Number two, we have a distribution center down here in Maumee or, you know, wherever, out, you know, on 57 out just outside of town. All right, we're going to close it. Number three, you want AWS services? And see, this is the cross subsidization is actually the more evil of the things that have gone on over time. Cross subsidization is the reason that monopoly under the Sherman and Clayton Acts are illegal, even if you can't prove price injury. Because the people who were doing it before were smart enough to realize that the best way to hide it is in some other product's price or some other service's price. And so it was made explicitly illegal. The law doesn't require that prices go up for consumers. It says attempts to monopolize are felonies.
Right. But I have a problem. Here's my conundrum on this one, Carl. Maybe I have a different view of this than because I've bought a couple of cars out of state. Okay. If you go in the state of Indiana and you buy the car from Matt Weber Chevrolet, and he's going to say, are you from Indiana? And I'm going to say, no, I'm not. I'm from Illinois. I walk out of there without paying sales tax on the Chevy truck, man. It has nothing to do with Chevy. It has them not collecting. It has nothing to do with the state of Indiana. It says that when I title it in Illinois, I have to pay it. It's a collection issue. I'm saying in Illinois, right. But in Illinois, they won't give me the license plate. They won't give me anything until I pay the tax. Illinois has a mechanism to collect that. We keep trying to blame Amazon. We keep trying to blame the other states. And the fact is, Illinois is making no effort to collect it. Now, the question is, why? They're disparaging the people here who are paying taxes. I honestly believe that Rauner is afraid or Lisa Madigan is a huge user of Amazon, doesn't want her name popping up. There has to be a reason.
That may be a very big part of it, but you know, the thing is that in some instances they do. One of the places that I used to run into all the time, when I was running MCS, was that we used to have the state sales tax people come in and audit us constantly. I mean, we got hit generally about every 18 months or so. They come in on a compliance audit. And one of the things that they looked at and were very, very attuned to was, where are you getting your supplies and are you paying tax on the...
Oh, you get...
Okay.
I got a story for you.
Oh, boy, did they get it. I mean, they got down to, hey, where's serial number X for this product that, you know, where'd it go to prove that you paid the tax when you sold it to the customer, you know, da-da-da-da. I mean, they were rapacious about it. They never caught us doing anything because we didn't cheat, but... The thing is, when it comes to businesses, yes, they do. The thing is, when it comes to individuals, no, they don't.
Well, I got a good one for you. The state of Illinois has their taxes. Then the city of Chicago, losers that they are. We got a small brokerage firm here, and we have some equipment. I mean, everybody's got computers, and I got three of them. And I mean, it's not like we don't have a whole lot of stuff, right? And then they come in to audit us on the state on the city tax. So guess what? Once a week or every couple of weeks, I used to go see a client, and on the way back, I'd stop at the Sam's Club in Hodgkins, which is outside the city. Carl, it never even crossed my mind that I was cheating the city out of 2% tax, right? I'm paying 9.5 instead of 10.5. I mean, it's still pretty friggin' high. And, you know, and every week I get a load of stuff. I get, you know, for in case clients come over, I get pop, I get, you know, and stuff. Cause we, you know, a lot of people come in. I want to make sure they have a Pepsi if they want it, that kind of thing. We're talking nothing out of the ordinary here. Just a little stuff in the fridge and bottled water and coffee and pop. They come in and they go, what are you doing? What are you going to this place in Hodgkins for to screw the city? And I'm going, well, it wasn't really my motivation. Thank God. To get a load of this, that you have a waiver on food, and you have a number. It's like $2,500 is under $2,500. They let you go. Well, fortunately, Sam's has all the receipts. So I spent like $5,000, and like $2,550 happened to be on food. So we were like $50 under the penalty. This guy was the most disappointed guy on earth, and he slunk out the front door with his tail between his legs. What a bunch of crap, Carl. Jesus. And yet everybody can order. You could be some zillionaire and outfit 15 rooms with TVs off Amazon, and they don't ever go after you. I mean, why is that?
Right, but it's, well, because the optics on it are terrible, number one. Number two, it's a lot of work, and you don't know what you're going to get. And then the other problem is that there is a question whether or not if the states and the cities started subpoenaing them, would they get cooperation, or would they get anything useful, or would they get more threats? And you'd think that the answer to this would be, give me the 1,000 top, in the state of Illinois, 1,000 top individuals.
That's what I would do.
Just give me the 1,000 top ones, okay? And then go fry those guys.
That's what I would do.
What are you going to get back? I mean, you know, there was a period of time, when I was running MCS, that the state of New York tried to subpoena me for some of our business records, and I told them to pound sand because we had no nexus there, and there wasn't anything they could do about it. But, see, Amazon doesn't have that situation because they have data centers and warehouses and affiliate businesses all over the place. And so the idea that they could, you know, that they could dodge it on jurisdictional grounds, I don't think that would work for them.
Well, you could conceivably, I mean, back in the day, I don't know if they still do it, you could conceivably dodge on your truck, too. There was one, I believe it was the state of Oregon, that if you got a post office box out there, you could get Oregon plates. And title it in Oregon, and you could have dodged Illinois. They would never know if you had Oregon plates, but there was only one state that did it. I don't know if you had to go out there to get the post office back, but it was a royal pain. I mean, you're saying it's the dodging part, but the weird part are people so. The guy got such a head start, and I got to believe that there's a lot of businesses in this area that are not there anymore because of it. And it's like you and I buying some huge restaurant downtown. To serve fast meals, and a guy put a hot dog stand right on the street in front of us. I mean, actually, yeah. they do that in New York, though. How does that work? In New York, you go in and have a hot dog somewhere, and it's $15. You walk outside the street, and it's better, and it's $5. I mean, it's somewhat. But so when the market starts doing this, Carl, not just Amazon, I think we have a little bit of a rate pressure revaluing thing going on. I don't think there's any doubt about that. How much of it, I don't know. This morning I was just reading an article to everybody about how some of the not biggest businesses, but the ones just under it, like Illinois Tool Works, those kinds of people, are saying the dollar's causing them some problems. I have to believe some of the tariffs are causing people some problems. We have my brother Dan knows a guy, I don't know if that's a King's English, Carl, but knows a guy who does automobile glass. And he says in the last month, because of a tariff someplace, everybody's taking it upon themselves. Everything's up 10%. Because David was on yesterday saying if you did the calculus and you look at the tariffs, it's like, you know, it's 0.1% of Chinese goods. But if everybody uses it as an excuse to raise their stuff 10%, it's not the tariff. It's what everybody gets to do because now, you know, yeah Chinese steel, if you look at the tariff and amount we get from Chinese steel, but if U.S. Steel turns around and raises their stuff up 10%, you're right back in the same place, which I think people are doing. So you've got this all of a sudden inflation. You've got this revaluation going on because of the interest rates. You got a feeling on the Fed. If they think there's inflation coming, Carl, I'm saying going from 2.5% to 2.75% doesn't cut it. If you're going to start fighting inflation, you're talking 6, 7, 8, which is what we saw before. I hope they don't have to go there. I mean, what is this jumble? It looks like a big stew, but can you reach in there and pull out something that we can put our hands around? I mean, what is really, is it just a mess of things causing it? Is it one thing? Is it everything? What is it?
Well, they do need to, here's the thing. You're not going to like to hear this, but they do need to go to 6 or 6.5.
I think they do too.
And they need to go there now. And the reason is this. The actual monetary inflation in the system last year was 6.2. And that's based upon the federal budget deficit, the real one, that is the amount of debt that's been borrowed by the Treasury year over year compared to the size of GDP. And, you know, you just had Volcker out a couple of days ago saying, oh, by the way, a 2% inflation target is illegal.
Yeah.
It's illegal because the actual Federal Reserve Act says zero. The stable prices. Okay, you don't get to redefine the word stable to mean whatever you want it to mean. I've been screaming about this for, you know, for a very long time, but, you know, you get Tall Paul comes out and says, the problem with doing what they're doing is it's going to get away from them eventually. It's just a question of when. And the reason it's going to get away from them is not in the private sector. It's because you give enablement to governments to run 6% fiscal deficits when your interest rates are 2.
What do you think?
Because from their standpoint, it's free, and that's why they're doing it.
Why do you think the? I'm gonna say where I think that 2% number comes from, and I'm not saying it was a target back in the day, Carl, because I'm sure it wasn't. I'm gonna say that during the late 50s, early to mid 60s, which most people, if you go back, you know, what did Mike Rako say about Ronald Reagan? He has a myopic view of an America that never existed. I don't want to do that, but I'm going to say, though, during that period of time, the post-war era, you had a time when most people's wages went up 3%, and pretty much everybody got pulled along, you know, 3.5. I don't know if anybody, well, they're still alive, there you could say there might have been somebody who didn't get a raise, but most people, I think, got bumped along, a lot of it because of productivity, but demand was good. And I'm going to say the inflation rate was probably around 2%, Carl. So if you're talking about 3.5% wage increases, 2% inflation, which means the house you bought at $20,000 a few years later is, you know, 24. Not outrageous, but you're gaining on it. And by the way, you're making 3% a year more. So at the end of 5 years, your mortgage you didn't know if you could pay is now half of one paycheck. It was pretty much economic nirvana for just about everybody. Now can you target that and make that happen? I don't think so, because I don't think they can make the 3.5% happen. And if you don't, that just happens to happen every once in a while when productivity increases. But the 2%, like I think you'll agree, which, you know, you don't have to, but 2% is fine if you're the person who's inflating 3 and 4 and not the guy who can't inflate at all. It's never even, right? I mean, there's going to be winners and losers in this game. I mean, in the last 5 years, I'm going to say the winners and losers have been asset prices, not individual workers. That's not what you want to have happen. That's what's different between now and in the 50s and 60s, that it filtered down to the person in the plant. Now it doesn't. It just drives stock prices higher. It drives condos downtown higher. It drives commercial buildings higher. It just inflates. This is not the same kind of inflation as I'm talking about in the 50s and 60s. Would you sort of agree with me on that or not?
Yeah, I do. And you have to remember, though, that during the 50s and 60s, we had a extraordinarily unique geopolitical environment. We just got done blowing up everybody's production equipment.
Yep.
And so we had an advantage that, you know, short of a nuclear war, God forbid, we're never going to have again. And to try to extrapolate anything that went on during that couple of decades on the basis of American exceptionalism is just nonsense.
Well, but they,
I mean, you know, if somebody attacks you and you flatten them, then, until they get rebuilt and they get back on their feet, you're going to have a major business advantage. That certainly is going to be very profitable.
But we had also had dramatic invention and home demands. Before the war, not everybody wanted an automatic, even knew what an automatic washer dryer was. You didn't have any TVs.
Right.
I mean, there was stuff that people, quote, had to have, and that's sort of going on to this day. People need cell phones. I'm going back to the flip phone, Carl. I can't stand this. I'm just saying, but that's just me. it was a little aside. But, there's still stuff we can be doing. You know what I'm saying? After the Civil War was the same way. And people will say that, I actually have a thing somewhere written by Milton Friedman that if you look at after the Civil War, we actually had deflation in a tremendous period of growth. So if you have a period of growth, it can be deflationary, it can be inflationary. You can do whatever you want. But growth kind of comes in spurts, like you're saying. All the inventions that happened during the war, Civil War, and there were a lot of them, when people got home, they ended up, I mean, there was a tremendous expansion in the economy from, what, 1870 to, what, 1890 or something? A lot of it to do with railroads. But there are times when you're going to have that. And there are times, that's why the Fed, you can't just push money at a dormant economy. All you're going to get is an inflation. But if all of a sudden the economy is humming anyway, you can probably put money in there and it's not inflationary. It's just used. And, you know, am I right or not? That's what.
Yeah. I think you are to a large degree. The problem that you run into today is that there is this belief. It's religious among large numbers of people and economists and central bankers and such that there is no such thing as a business cycle, that we can tame it, that we can get rid of it, we can harness it, we can make it go away, basically. And that's just pure nonsense, because business cycles are a fundamental function of greed and fear. They're a fundamental function of people being exuberant, but then they go too far. And when they go too far, then you know, that's a recession, okay, because you build more capacity than you actually need. And so there's, you know, the idea that we can somehow level all of this out, that there's this handful of people that can pull the levers because they're the smartest people in the room, and nobody knows better than they do, and they can figure out exactly what the level of interest rates needs to be, what the level of aggregate demand is going to be, you know, and they can get this across a $20 trillion economy, and they can get it close enough that there's no more than 1% variation. It's just nonsense.
I think if you could do it, you can't do it with taxation, Carl, because when I was in school, and we've got a couple more minutes here, but the idea was, if you try to do it the Keynesian style with Congress, the minute you recognize that things are slowing down, and then by the time you pass the tax decrease or the spending increase, it's probably already turning around, and actually what you're doing is you're making it worse, because the policy hits when you're already expanding, and then when you're going too fast and you raise the taxes or whatever, or you cut back on the spending, that hits when you're already going down. You end up making the sine wave bigger if you don't anticipate it correctly, right? Which is, I think,
well, yeah, and then the other thing too is, remember that you know, Keynes had some wonderful theories. Okay, the problem is they've never been used, and remember that Keynes's prescription was that since you were going to spend in deficit during downturns as a countercyclical, you had to tax in excess during booms, and you had to run large fiscal deficits and pay it off. And that has never happened in the history of this country.
Well, plus it. All right, Carl, we have to dash, buddy. As usual, I could talk all day with you. We'll have you back on in a couple of weeks for our usual labor stuff. What do you think this month's going to show labor-wise, real quick?
I'm very curious as to whether or not we're about to turn a corner on this, which makes the entire economic and market picture real interesting.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you on that. Boy, I hate it when I hope I'm wrong, though, Carl. Let's both hope we're wrong, buddy. S&P futures down 31 bucks. Dow futures down 221. NASDAQ futures down 147. Oil down 78 cents. And Mr. John Neal after the break. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right
now. Right here, right now. Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ali, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. John Neal, PTI West, out in sunny Arizona. S&P futures down 26. Now we're coming back a little bit. Dow futures only down 183. Nasdaq only down 130. As we've had the third quarter GDP grow at a 3.5% pace, slightly faster than the 3.4% that's expected. I'm searching madly here for the PCE deflator, which I haven't found yet. Matt, if you see that or John see that, please wing it at me. Because if they come in with like a 1% PCE deflator, like inflation, I'm going to just say, bah! On the whole thing. But anyway, I have not seen that yet, so I won't say that yet. Around the rest of the world, we've got Europe down some. We've got the DAX down 161, 1.4%. Actually, more than the last time we went through this. FTSE down 77, 1.1. CAC around down 90, 1.8. Asia, we've got down, but not much. Nikkei down 84.4%. Shanghai down 4.95, 0.2%, but 2598. They could come up another 2 points and be 2600. Hang Seng down 276, 1.1%. We've got oil down at 78 cents now, which is kind of a lot. Brent down 67, 66.55. And I'm going to say, Matty, I have no idea how I thought this thing was going to go from 75 to 85. And now we have Saudi troubles and it's lower. But, That's why you have puts. Natural gas down 5 cents, 3.14. RBOB is 1.79. We've got gold is now up 470. Silver only up 2 cents, so they were up more earlier. What do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a crash now on the inbound Kennedy right at Lawrence Avenue on the inbound side, blocking the right shoulder. That's causing delays as folks are coming in on I-90. It's starting to affect the Edens as well. Expect some backups coming in on the Kennedy. Earlier crash on the Eisenhower at Austin is all clear, but the Eisenhower is pretty jammed up, well over an hour into downtown. Stevenson, we had that car fire at LaGrange Road. That's clear, but now there is a medical emergency on the Tri-State right near I-55 northbound just before the outbound Stevenson Expressway. Again, that's a medical emergency with crews on the scene there, and that's causing delays. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford are looking okay, but heavier than normal traffic for a Friday morning, so keep that in mind as you're heading out. Weather today, lots of clouds as it's been. Some isolated showers in the area as well will be cool, a high of just 52. Right now it's cloudy and 48 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, lots of sunshine today, a high of 88. Right now it's clear and 64. In sports, Blackhawks have won 3 out of 4. They took care of the Rangers 4-1 last night. Coyotes also won 4-1 over Vancouver. And in Thursday night football, it was the Texans blowing out the Dolphins 42-23. Chief.
John, how are you?
Good morning. Doing great. How about you guys?
All right. So Matty, murmurs in the mist, whispers in the wind, as they say, rumors that John Neal, let's see, bought Amazon Tuesday night, wrote it all the way up sold it Tuesday night, shorted it, wrote it down Wednesday, bought twice as much on the close, ran it up $100 yesterday, shorted it at 2 o'clock, and now he's another $140 to the good.
Any truth and a there? Billionaire.
He's a billionaire. Any truth to that, Jen?
Okay.
Would have been one hell of a trade, huh? Wow. I
mean, I'll tell you. He called that the yo-yo trade.
Yeah, I mean, I have not... When all the stuff that's coming to play with the revaluations and all that other kinds of stuff, here's a stock that is right out there as being a stock was trading $2,000 and they make what, $5 a year? Or have been?
Right.
So it's got the PE up there. But they've got the innovation, they got stuff going. I mean there's reason to not, value that stock like another stock. I'm not saying there isn't. But the last few days are just talk about finding a home. The thing was up 120 yesterday, gives up the entire 120. I went in there to look at the earnings plays. The straddle, Jan, was 65 hours, and I'm thinking, I said to myself, self, I don't think that's enough. But I don't really have a whole lot of clients that are willing to pay 65 hours for a straddle with a day to go, though, including me. That's a big number, but I'm gonna just lob out there, totally non-scientific research, that this earnings period, and maybe the last one, if you took your top 50 stacks, and bought the straddles and all of them, I think you'd be slightly ahead. I don't think you'd be killing them, but it's rare that the buyer would be making money. But we've had some big moves. I mean, in some of these stacks where the straddles were $2, the stacks moved like $8. IBM, it was $2.50, and the stack moved $6. There's been a lot of times you wanted to be long those things. I mean, and that's kind of rare, I think.
No, you're absolutely right, Tom. I would agree.
By the way, Chief, you can follow us on Twitter at Stocks the Letter N Jocks. This is an interesting one. Josh tweets in regarding a Bloomberg article. The elimination of state and local tax deduction combined with higher mortgage rates have combined to clobber the housing market in the Northeast.
Yes.
No one could have known. And obviously being sarcastic there, you and Kenny predicted this and talked about this ad nauseum. Percentage change in sales of new single-family houses from September 2017 to September 2018, down over 51% in the Northeast, compared to up 4% in the Midwest.
He's right, and these things are very predictable.
And the dealer writes in, so the plan to cap state and local to offset the revenue loss from the corporate tax cut was what we expected it to be, a big F you to the blue states.
Yes.
Which you also predicted.
Yes. The whole idea, there's a mindset here that I just don't get. I mean, I'm never going to get it. It's probably why I'm never going to be mean enough.
Well, people in the blue states are not American, so screw them.
Well, that's right.
Because you're not the president of them.
Well, when I ran for the board of the CBOE, Manny, and there, we ran from the outside. Another guy and me, we both got, I'm going to say we got, I don't know, how many, we got 500 votes and we didn't get 60 or something. We were pretty much landslides in. It never even dawned on me who the 60 people might have been and how I had to screw them. I just thought, this is pretty cool. It's pretty much a landslide. I'll take it. Somebody's always going to vote for you. It never even occurred to me to try and figure out who those 60 knaves were.
Right.
I mean, and yeah, obviously these guys are incredibly vindictive. And the whole idea that, I'll tell you, I talk to conservatives all the time, and that, there's conservatives, and that, well, screw those states. Why should you reward a state like Illinois that doesn't know how to balance their budget? Why should you reward a state like Connecticut? And you'd say, well, those guys get 40 cents back on the tax dollar that they send the federal government. Other states, like some of the red states, New Mexico, Alabama, some of these other places, get $1.82 back. That's a big difference. Why should that make any difference? Well, but it does. I mean, some people, you're taking the money from them, and some coming back. And then somebody will say, well, it's for Army base. Not always just for Army bases. I mean, there's always more to the puzzle than somebody is willing. People will get just enough facts to cover their opinion and don't want to hear any more than that. You know, because right. The next fact might make your opinion not sound so hot. I mean, how many times, Maddie, do you and I, because I think you kind of think along with me in a lot of stuff, how many times do we change our mind on something over the course of the year because, guess what, our opinion just doesn't hold water? Where did that quote come from? It doesn't hold water.
I don't know, but that's a common quote.
My cousin Vinny.
That's where it was invented?
Well, but it sounded the best.
Yeah, it
did. Now it doesn't hold water.
It doesn't hold water.
Yeah. I mean, you, all of a sudden you're going to see something
Marissa
and say, wait a minute.
Yeah,
I used to think this way. No, I'm not so sure I'm right.
Well, I'd like to think that most people are like that, but maybe they aren't.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a sign of being an enlightened person.
Well, I think...
Because most people aren't like that, no question.
Yeah, you take in all the information, and you're constantly learning, and hopefully you're constantly evolving. That's sort of the definition of being progressive in my mind. But
well, the article we've talked about
moving
a few
forward.
Times is maybe it's at some point I'm going to say you. I mean, obviously you're out, you're talking to people, you've got a real job, you travel a lot, you talk to people, and by the way, you listen to this show and all the people that come on here, which is an interesting, diverse group, and you're going to get every different opinion you're going to find here, and that's our style. We don't care if somebody comes out and disagrees with us. Matter of fact, we learn from them. Correct?
Absolutely.
But most people are exceptionally busy with a job, commuting back and forth, got a family, got kids in school, got soccer practice. They don't have time really to do the stuff that we're doing. I mean, not many people's job all day long is like John and mine is to watch out for this crap for your clients. That's our job. Right? So our job is to keep up as best we can. Most people, that's not their job. So what you end up doing is you end up saying, I agree more with the people on the right or more with the people on the left or something. And you say, I'm just going to go with them on this one.
And then you end up going with them, whoever them is, on every single topic.
Which
is really strange to me.
Well, okay, but it's understandable.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah. You end up aligning with a group of people you think are somewhat like you, and for every issue, you end up with the mentality of, okay, where would the right and the left sit on this one? That's why, for God's sake, there'll be a debate about motherhood. You know, if one side says it's a good thing first, the other side's got to say it isn't. you essentially outsource your research.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And to a certain extent, I mean, I think we sort of all do that, and on things that we don't. If there's a environmental issue, and maybe I'm probably going to more lean with the not. I mean, I want the person who says it's not going to wreck the environment. I'm more likely to want him to prove it to me because he's making money off it than the person who says it's going to wreck the environment. Maybe that's a holdover from my liberal days. I don't know. But I'm probably going to lean that way a little bit. But in any certain instance, I might turn around and say, hey, the liberal side's wrong on this one. This guy's not wrecking the environment. Let him make a buck. Right? I'm probably more likely to believe the one side first. Okay? But if all of a sudden my entire life was doing something else, was putting up a factory, with building railroad cars, how the hell do I have time to do that during the day? I'm probably going to pick a side and roll with them. I'm not castigating these people, but I think at some point you got to think for yourself, like you think, like you just said. Am I right, Jim?
I think anyone who aligns themselves with either one of these parties is out of their mind.
Well, they're getting so extreme now.
Amen.
They're getting so extreme.
I agree 100%, and then you have media behind that, depending on which flavor you are. And, you're in hook, line, and sinker. Once you get that media, there's only that particular newspaper, that particular network, and that's it. And that's your indoctrination, and that's your Kool-Aid.
Yeah, if you're sitting at home and you're watching Fox News all day, or if you're sitting at home and you're watching CNN all day, and then you go on Twitter and the only people you follow are the people that, are echoing that same stuff, I mean, that's not a good way to live. I'm sorry.
I guess we're
not unbiased, right?
But we're talking sort of different times. And again, I'm, you know, not acting like I'm 100 years old, but today's world, Mattyers, nobody can debate you on this, but 25 years ago, if you were a Republican, you know, a Republican with some brains, or a Democrat with some brains, you could easily say, whatever Chuck Percy wants to do, I'm for. Whatever Paul Simon wants to do, whatever Paul Douglas wants to do, even whatever Adlai Stevenson wants to do, whatever Senator Dirksen wants to do. Because they were good people. They happen to be slightly different, some right, some left. But there, I'm going to say that 90% of what, even though I was a Democrat at the time, 90% of what Chuck Percy wanted to do, I was for too. You know, we had reasonable men in reasonable spots that sort of, I won't say they did their thinking for you, but they're going to come out. They're not going to try and screw people coming over. They've all were sort of cut from the same cloth, just a little bit of a different edge to them. You could easily output your mentality to a Paul Simon, to a Paul Douglas type of guy, or a Chuck Percy, even a Peter Fitzgerald I like a lot. You can't do that today because these guys are so extreme. In my mind, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying it hasn't always been like that. You know what I'm saying? You actually could be on a side and be somewhat happy with what they were doing. Now, I don't see how you could be. I'm with you.
Yeah. No, I mean,
does that make any sense?
It makes sense. I still wouldn't recommend just 100% aligning with anyone.
No. You know what I'm saying?
Typically you would find that you would potentially agree with that person. I don't know when it really shifted as much as it has. I mean, now it's just a laughing stock. Well, now it's
almost entertainment
just
now.
Yeah, it's just an embarrassment.
I mean, if you don't.
Last 20 years, maybe, you know, or so is, you know, I mean, obviously we're peaking every year, let's say, but this has been a phenomenon that's evolved, I think, with technology, unfortunately.
Well, the conservatives now equate the liberals, and they literally will tell you they hate liberals.
They call them libtards, and I mean, it's really hilarious.
Yeah, but it's
really strange. I don't know. I don't get it.
Get your finger on the dump button. I'm going to say that a lot of the Republicans, or a lot of people on the severe right, and not the people that they look at it's a combination of, I don't want anywhere near Elizabeth Warren shrill yelling in my ear. I don't want, even though she went to Harvard for God's sake, and she's a bright lady, and by the way, she's sick. The African American lady who's the head of the teachers union, and if you sat down next to her and had a cup of coffee, I bet you'd be incredibly impressed. On TV, she comes across that, I want your last dime. No matter how much money we're taking here, no matter how much we're not educating people, not her personally, we want more, more, more coming out of you. They want no part of that. I mean, and they don't want any part of somebody telling what bathroom they got to use. The whole thing, this gender equality where you're going to tell some firm, instead of having two bathrooms, you got to have three. And we don't care if it costs you $90 bazillion to do it and have to build another building. They equate the liberals with all that crap. And the liberals have not done much to dissuade people from that, Matty. I mean, that's it's become the party of some minorities, anybody who works for the city or states, girly men, and people who don't know what they are. That's what people look at the liberal side as. And I'm just, it's unfair that way, but it's no longer the party of the welder at Pullman with the forums that you wouldn't mess with. That's not the Democratic Party today with people's perception.
That's because the welder at Pullman, first of all, doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
But second of all, that guy's an idiot and votes against his best interests.
Well, but what I'm saying is, I'm just telling you, this is what I read and hear. I mean, and our girl Jay-Z, who comes in when you're not here, said none of like the athletic guys at DePaul are Democrats. It's the party for the girly guys and the women.
There's no question about it. That's because those guys are sexist and hate gay people.
Well,
are probably racist.
But when the Democratic Party is showing you their leadership? That's what's wrong. I could sit there and talk about.
It's no longer like when I was growing up, and certainly before that, you voted based on your economic interest, and you know, wealthy people would vote Republican, and like you said, working class people would vote Democrat, and it made a lot of sense, and we'd sort of go back and forth. Now it's just like, It's really strange. Yeah, it's like you either are for inclusion and for everyone having a seat at the table, or you're against it.
Right.
And that's what defines, you know, right versus left now.
But we had somebody on the show who was the head of the teachers' pension union, right? It's a while ago. And he basically told me that everybody else had to keep ponying up until the last man standing was broke. that they deserved whatever they, that their promises had to be kept even if nobody else's were kept. You know what, Manny? People are tired of that. People are very tired of that, of paying for other people to sit home when you're not.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I would be tired of that too.
But it's what
there's no doubt that the like you know folks like Kevin and Lou who are very intelligent that are against just government waste, and
oh, yeah.
I am too. I mean that makes perfect sense. I don't think that needs to be a right versus left thing.
But the interesting part is, and even those guys. My thing, when I say government waste, they have a different view. Government waste goes to people.
I think we waste tons of money on defense.
I know, but
in fact, probably more than we do on social programs.
Okay, but what,
much more.
All right, listen for a second. What I'm saying is,
I'm against that too.
But that money doesn't go to government, Matty. It goes to the people.
It goes to pensions.
No, it goes to the people in your party. Okay, with the war on poverty. Went to the people along the way. Not 25% of it made it to the people that were poor.
Well, that's very true.
And when you talk about the welfare on the rich side, it's the F-35 costing twice as much as it should. I mean, it goes to people. It's just which people it goes to, right? I mean, it's not, when people say governmental waste, the waste is not necessarily go to the government worker.
But when people on the right say government waste, they're not talking about that. They're talking about the poor black people. They're the ones to blame.
The people on the right never think they got a dime from government. In fact, they got way more than most black people ever did. I mean, the welfare is for the rich. I mean, I have to find that book. Kevin will probably could find it for me at Better World Books. It somehow didn't make it through a flood at my mother's house. Was welfare is not only for the poor. It has to do with take Social Security. The amount of people that are richer last longer. I mean, how many people you're not going to find? And they went through the whole list. How many people from Inglewood go to Yellowstone Park? Nobody. You know, the national parks. Who uses them? It's people with money. I mean, it goes right down the line. Who gets the pensions? Who gets this? Who drives on the interstate highways? It's dramatic. You're not going to find too many Hispanic people out of Pilsen getting hips and knees redone when they're 75. For all kinds of money in Medicare, and yet you're going to find all kinds of people that you and I know when they're 75 is getting that stuff done. I mean, the amount of money, the thing of it is, I understand. I'm a product of welfare. I get that part because when I was...
So am I.
Yeah, my dad, I mean, people, I'll be real brief, died when he was 36. Policeman pension fund had nothing for they cut off the widow the minute she married again. He had nothing for the kids. Yet my mother found out somehow that Social Security would pay for aid to dependent children all the way through school, even if you remarried. So we got, I want to say, $150 a month or something from age 5 to age 21. My mother stuck that in the bank. That was my Notre Dame education, which was only $3,000 a year at the time, and the money paid for it. Same thing for my brother. Now, I'm going to say it was probably a very good investment on the part of the government in the sense that whatever that made its way up to for 15 years, $1,000 a year, say that $15,000, I bet they've gotten it back in spades and taxes and stuff I've paid. Okay, so in his investment, it was probably fine. But I went back, Matty, what do you think, and Jan, what do you suppose... My dad paid in Social Security when he was in the Army. I thought he was in there three and a half years. What is his total he paid in Social Security? I actually went back and calculated it.
It couldn't have been much.
Pick a number.
For 3 years total?
For how many years?
Well, how long would he have been? I think he got drafted in 42. He probably was out in 40. I mean, he went till the end, so three and a quarter years, three and a half maybe.
Okay, I'm going to say $500.
Matty?
I was going to say $1,000.
I'm going to say
$35. $35?
Yeah, it was like a dollar a month. It was like a dollar
That's
a month,
it?
Dollar and a quarter a
That's
month.
That's funny.
Or yeah. I mean, what did you make when you were in the Army? You made like $20 a month. I think Social Security was like 80 cents or something. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, okay, I mean, so at least I admit it. I mean, there were guys in the OEX pit where I used to, their dad just got $100,000, $50,000 open heart surgery when Medicare first started. I said, did you pay for it? No. Did your dad pay for it? No. How much did he pay in Medicare? You know, whatever, $800. It just started. Okay, that's welfare. What do you mean welfare? We deserve it. I didn't say you didn't deserve it. I just said it's money you didn't put in. Somebody else paid for you. It's welfare, right? That's a hell of a lot of food stamps, isn't it?
It's really something.
Yeah, it's John. Okay, what are you making today? We only got 1 minute. Is Amazon a buy here? It's come back some. It's only down 123. Should people be nipping at the bottom on this stuff, or do we let it rip? Just let it see what happens.
Possibly, Tom. I think I'd wait and just see how it trades throughout the day, though.
I just want a big rally out of gold here. That's how I'm selfish.
There you
here.
Go.
All right, buddy. Are you going to any of these hockey or basketball games, or are you out on those?
Not yet, but I eventually will. Answer your question.
Do you believe we got 2 seconds that they're going to make people 30 seconds? If your team is one of the college teams in the playoff, that you could have your team in Miami 1 week and have to be in San Francisco the next.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
Could they make it any?
We were talking a little bit about that on Tuesday, and that's kind of a joke.
Matt, are you going to do that in the 30-year-old Winnebago? You think?
No.
Would that be a long ride? SP Futures down 31, Dow Futures down 221. Back on Monday, tell you all about it. Stacks and Jacks.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.